Last week we did an introduction on Joseph, a real interesting character, a real interesting story. Remember a few things from last week. It mentions more in the book of Genesis about Joseph's story than any other character. We finished off last week by looking at the size of his God, the size of the God of Joseph, because all that he went through, he couldn't afford to have a small God or a medium-sized God. He needed a big God. This is what Mark Twain said years ago. There are two great days in a person's life, the day that they were born and the day that they discovered why. And I think this is all to do with Joseph. We're just looking at this morning the big picture. Where do I fit into this puzzle of life? And to relate to the whole story of Joseph is, if you come from a broken home, if you didn't get well on with your sisters and your brothers, if you've been abused or lied to or badly treated or lonely, or you spent time in jail, or people didn't understand you, etc., etc., then this story is for you. I think God's going to really speak to us powerfully over the next 8 to 9 weeks. And even when we've gone through things like that, you and I still scheme, we still plan, we still dream, we still try and find our own way. And you can hear people, you might have had this said to you, you were born for this. You were meant to do this. You're so good at what you're doing. So I'm just going to put the first one up. Here we go. Where do I fit into this big jigsaw of life? And sometimes we're really enjoying what we do regarding work, etc. And inside we get this nagging feeling. Where do I fit into it all, even in God's big picture? And there have been moments within our lives where we get to this place where we just cry out and we say, Lord, I've done this and I've tried that and etc., etc. What do you want me to do? Because that's where you and I really are fulfilled, when God begins to direct us and sometimes redirect us. And this is what happened to Joseph. Proverbs chapter 3, look at this next one, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of our ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. How does he do that? Well, I think as we look back in our life, giving us confidence for the future, is that God puts things in place, even sometimes years in advance. God is the God who can open doors and close doors. He can knock down barriers. The choices that we make sometimes, he makes them fit into kind of our plans. And even when we make failures and mistakes and we go through difficulties, he's so big that he can make all that work for us. And this is what I love about Joseph. Proverbs 16 verse 9, it says, in his heart a man, also meaning a woman, plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. Joseph didn't know until he was an adult what God's purpose was, what his destiny was. And things had happened in his life from being 17 years old, and nearly all of the things that happened on his journey were well out of his control. Sometimes you and I really struggle with that because we've got fixed plans. You'll know what I mean by this, some of you, if you're married and you've got kids, is get them through school, get them through college, get them married off, and then I can kind of do what I want, and I can do this and go where I want. Sometimes we've got plans and God disrupts them plans. He kind of messes them all up, because he knows what's best for us. And this, we look at the life of Joseph. It looked like a lot of the things that he went through were totally out of control. And some of them were quite painful. But then God's plan became really clear for his life. So let's put up this next one. Genesis 37, verses 1 and 2. I'll just give you a moment just to read that, because this is introducing Joseph. He's 17 years old. He's part of the family business. And if you and I were to ask Joseph a question, Joseph, what have you got planned for the future? Do you know what's ahead, Joseph? I think he would say, I ain't got a clue, like most of us. I haven't got a clue. Maybe to stay in the family business. Family business, he was looking after sheep. Maybe it's to follow dad. Maybe it's even to follow what granddad did, just to follow suit. And yet God has got a tremendous plan for Joseph. And Joseph never scooby what was going on. He didn't know about tomorrow. He didn't know about being sold as a slave. He didn't know that he would end up in Egypt. In his own mind, he'd just got things set because he didn't have a clue about the future. But God does. God knows exactly what he's taking us through. I think I've told you this before, but when I became a Christian, really fell in love with Jesus, I'd go anywhere, I'd do anything. And I had a plan. And my plan was to leave the mine and set myself up in business. And so I set myself up in business selling ladies' clothing. I still cannot believe I did that. Oh my word, all the lingerie and size 12s and everything else. But anyway, a bit of a difference from a pick and a shovel into all this women's stuff. And I really enjoyed it. We're on the market stall and I thought, but Lord, I love you and I want other people to know about you. So my plan was to have 25 shops and I was just on number 4. And I went on the market. I went on about 8 markets. I got people employed, working in shops. And I did this so that, and then I could kind of fund myself as being a speaker. And so it sounded good. I was excited about it. And then God said, good plan, but not my plan. That's not my way. I want you to sell it all, give some of it away, and go off to Bible college. You're joking. That's just not of God. But sometimes our ways, we know where we need to be, but often God's ways are a little bit different in getting there. Kind of the right direction. Listen to this quote. I love this quote. It says, God's will is a bit like the sunrise. It's not so much that we see the sun, but it's because of the sun that I see everything else. I remember years ago as a young Christian, really wanting to do God's will. And you know when you get to that place, is that, what do you want me to do? And then in the back of your mind, it's like, I hope he's not going to ask me that. And I hope he's not going to ask me this. And then you get to a place, is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I remember going to this little church. I love this little church up in Airedale in Castleford. And I remember walking in, I had a real hunger for God. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? Because I've got all these plans, but I don't know if my plans are your plans. And I remember sitting, and a guy called David Holmes was speaking on Samuel. And during this talk on Samuel, it was just one thing, and he said, are you close enough to hear the whispers of God, just like Samuel did? And that really spoke to me. And at the end of that service, I don't know if anyone would remember this song. Maybe this is me showing my age. But this song, I think it was a song in the Redemption inbox, you know, in that red one. And it started with, my stubborn will at last has yielded. Does anybody know that? Yeah, this bell, I thought there'd be a few more. I've never heard that before. And Brian Warbank got on the piano and he said, do you know something? We're going to sing a really old song. And he said, it's one that I've not sung for a while. I didn't have a clue. I'd never heard of it. I went into church songs. But that night, God really spoke to me about me giving my will to him. And then after that, things really began to change. And even though I found them challenging, I knew that it was so right. Jeremiah, which is another one, we'll just put this one on. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Folks, here in Jeremiah, what God is saying is, I know, I've got the plans. They're here with me. It's just one copy. It's just one blueprint. I've got it. I've got my plans for you. And you and I will find it very difficult to be really fulfilled and find purpose until we walk and fold and press into the will of God. And this is what we find in the life of Joseph. You will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. Every bit of us. And I'm sure that even Joseph, as this blue-eyed boy with his fancy coat on, he thought he got everything made, and then God took him on this incredible journey from being a shepherd to being the second highest in the most powerful nation on earth at that time. He'd have never thought that. He'd have never, ever thought that at all. But this is it. He's working in his... is learning regarding the will of God and the plan for his life. And sometimes you and I will actually tell God what we're not going to do. And this is where you and I are giving ourselves fully over to God. Joseph learned as he went along. He went through some real difficult times. And he must have grown, because in Genesis 50... he said these words, and these are the words that Catherine just read out. You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And everything that God does in our life, whether it's difficult or hard or confusing, it is all for our good and all for his glory. Can you remember Moses when he climbed the mountain? It must have taken him a time to spend 40 days with God. Moses didn't go up there with a bit of a tick list. Because sometimes we just come to God with a bit of a tick list. Will you do this and what about that? Moses went up to spend time with him. He loved God. And in them 40 days, that's when God revealed his plan and his will. But Moses didn't go up for that reason. He didn't go up to say, right, you tell me your will now and let me carry it out. He spent time with God. Then God revealed his plan. And I think that's the difference for all of us in, Lord, I just want to know you. I just want to spend time with you. And as we do that, then God reveals his plan. And this is what he did with Joseph. Anybody like going to fairgrounds? Yeah, I know you did the way that you did this. And I know Kathy Cowie, she's a right roller coaster rider. Man alive, fearless at her age. Goodness me. Can I ask you a question, Kathy? When you're on these roller coasters, do you white knuckle? Are you scared? Or are you, whee, are you one of those?
I just sit still.
You just sit still. Were your eyes open or your eyes closed? Open. Wow. I take my hat off to people who go on these roller coaster rides. But if you can imagine life, like Catherine talked about, her life sometimes is like this. Joseph's were like this. And I'm sure at some point in his life, maybe once or twice, he were white knuckling. I don't really get this. I don't really know what's going on. And at times we just seem to just really hold on tight. And in our lives, there's things that we go through, we actually feel as though we're white knuckling. Now, I want to put the next one up, because regarding his brothers, I don't think they look like that. Maybe next one. Maybe not. No, I don't think they look like that either. The next one. Maybe like this. Because these guys, Joseph's brothers, I mean, he's from the family, but it's a dysfunctional family. It's got troubles. It's got issues. It's got difficulties. Listen to this. Jacob, Joseph's dad, was a swindler. He was a trickster. He was a bit of a tow rag, really. He's got four wives. Man alive, I've got enough with one. I can only afford one. He's got four. Four wives. He's got 11 brothers. He's got one full brother. And these brothers, they kill people. In this family, there's rapes, there's affairs, there's favoritism. He's one of the youngest, is Joseph, and more than likely spoilt. Maybe him and Benjamin. So you can see already in this family, there's trouble at the mill. There's disaster coming. Some things are going to kick off. And as we read, there's jealousy, there's hatred, and there's violence, etc., etc. So if you come from that kind of a family background, we can see here, Joseph comes from this kind of background. It's a right mixed bag of mashings, this family that is from. And this is what we hear today. You're always in trouble because you're just like your dad. Or you like this because you're just like your mum. Or you like this because of your uncle. We do, we hear that, don't we? I remember having that when I was growing up. Oh, you're just like your Uncle Pete. Sorry, that was my mum's brother. And sometimes that sticks, is that we never grow because people say we like so-and-so, but folks, God's at work in us. When my friend met Pastor Jim Graham, and when he'd been talking to him, and he came back to me and he said, I've never met Jesus before, but if I'd met Jesus, I'd think he were like him. He didn't say he were like his mum or like his dad. Why am I saying that? It's because Joseph had every excuse not to turn out right. But God were at work in him. God were at work in him. Wow. This is you and I. And I'm sure that you've heard of this phrase. We are products, not of our past. We are products of the cross. That's the reason why I said that. Joseph had every excuse just to even turn out like the rest of his family, but he didn't. Because God's at work in us. And I know that we like our parents in some ways, but God's at work and he's cancelling things out and he's moving within us and he's releasing us from things and he's changing us into his likeness. I love Joseph. He's an incredible man. And God used Joseph in a great way. And he began to learn God every day of his life. And every day, folks, important. When you and I woke up this morning, learning how to walk with God, learning how to listen to God. God's part of us, is our life. This is what he has to say. Let's look at a few of these verses. For you are like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. I love Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days, not our years. Now we've got birthdays today. And sometimes we get into a habit of counting the year. But God says in his word, I want you to count the days. Every day is important. And the real problems that we have are not often outside. It's on the inside. And Jesus said himself, it's not what comes into a man that defiles a man, but what comes out of a man. So praise God that he's at work in every one of us, leading us into his perfect plan and purpose and destiny. The last thing for me, it wasn't even on my list. Pastor, you have got to be joking. And I want to encourage us this morning. God is at work in you. Whether it's difficult at the moment, whether it's great at the moment, God can use everything and anything to accomplish his plan. Wow, what a God. So big, so wise, so great. Anybody here who's a Michael Jackson fan or has been? Kerry's hand straight up. Looks like it's just Marty and Kerry. Thumbs up. Wow. Anybody else? I'm not going to do any moves, by the way. I'm not going to start twisting and turning because I'll end up falling. Anybody else? Okay, let's put up that next one, the next slide. Right, I'm going to start us off and see if we can follow it. Dave's laughing, so obviously he knows it. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm just tempted to do a bit of a... Oh, wow. You were tempted to get up, weren't you? And yeah, I could tell. Wow. Just look at them words from this Michael Jackson song. He's so wanting to make a change that he even wrote a song about it. And sometimes the more that you and I do, sometimes the more that we mess up. But God never messes up. And as we look again through Joseph's life, from being a shepherd into the second highest in the nation, he's just absolutely fantastic. And as you and I look around the world today on the news, we were looking at this on Saturday morning through the Daniel Project, looking at what's happening all around our globe, on the mainland, in other countries, in America, what's happening here. It's pretty messy. Pretty messy. And yet God, he knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. We're safe and secure in him, for those who know him, for those who love him. And when you read God's word, it'll never tell us things like, basically, you're okay. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep trying. Is that when you and I look at God, God says, I love you, but you're separated from me. You're kind of, you're stuck in this sinful habits, and I know the shame and the dirt of your life. I know that you're spiritually blind. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to a church, and this is what he said. He says, you at one time were dead. Really? I've never felt as alive. No, spiritually, with God. God says that at one time you were dead, but now, through Christ, you've been made alive. And he's working in us. And so today is the good news of Jesus for every person, for every boy and girl, for every teenager, for every man and woman on planet Earth. It's the good news of Jesus. It is so relevant today, so real today, because God is the only one who can release. He's given everything for us in giving Jesus for us. That the Son of God would do that for us in becoming sin for us. Taking the curse and the punishment and the pain. He stood in our places. He's taken it all. And then he rose again from the dead. Defeated all our enemies. There to be received into our life when we repent and we turn to him. The gospel of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know something? If it wasn't for him, it doesn't matter if we're Scottish or English, fat or thin, Gentile or Jew. It just don't matter, because we're all in the same boat. And without God, that boat will sink. It don't matter who we are or what we are, but he's done it. And this is why the good news of Jesus is good news. It's incredible news. It's the best news. And it is so relevant for our world today. Charles Price used to be the Cape and Ray principal. And he got a letter from a committee group, and it were a gay group. And they'd asked Charles Price to go and speak at one of their gay rallies. And Charles put it in just out of the way, where he said, I didn't know how to handle that, I didn't know what to do. And God began to convict him to actually go, and so he got back to this guy, and he says, okay, he says, I'll come. And this was a few months afterwards. He went and he met up with this committee. And he said to him, why on earth did you ask me to come and speak to you? Because you know who I am and you know the message that I'm going to bring. You know I'm going to be talking about Jesus and forgiveness and being born again and receiving new life. And the man turned around to him and he said, Charles, we're broken men. And we need fixing. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of Jesus. So real and so relevant for today. Genesis 37, if you just have a look at this, just the few verses. Here's Joseph, he's looking after his father's sheep, he's in the family business. And at the end of chapter 37, we find him living in another world. He's living in another place. He's living in Egypt. Is a slave in another world, all in one chapter. A wrong turn, a big detour. It must have felt like Job has gone in reverse. What on earth has happened? Surely I'm out of God's plan now, because my plans are all messed up. And this surely just isn't right. I mentor people on the mainland, some of the guys that I've got to know really well. And one of them's going through a really tough time. And I want to just share with you a text, a quote that I sent him yesterday. It says these words: if you think you've blown God's plan for you, rest in this. You, my beautiful friend, are not that powerful. He's messed up big time. He don't know what's going on in his life. All he knows is just got to really, really trust God. A lady in the Middle East called Stephanie Bowman, she came to know Christ. She comes from a very wealthy background. And then her and her husband split. And we spent a lot of time with her over the years. We've kept in contact with her. We visited her. She's visited us. What a star. She used to be in the Navy. She was like a captain of a ship. And she hadn't done this for about 30 years. And she cried out one day and she said, God, what do you want me to do? Please tell me what your will is, because I'm tired of doing mine, because I can't get fulfilled, and I kind of achieve, and then it's like sand in the hand, and then I do something else, and it's like sand in the hand. It's just nothing there. So what do you want me to do? And this is what God told her to do. Do what you did before. And this was when she was 60. And it was to be the captain of a ship. And she really struggled with that at her age. She had to go through all the training again. And she really battled. And do you know where she is now? She lives in Australia with part of her family. And that's what she does. She's a captain of a ship. And she's about 67 years old. She's maybe 68 years old. And I think, wow. Often when God speaks to us and he tells us things of the way that we're going and what he wants for our life, it is always bigger than you. Always. And the reason for that is because you and I have to depend on him totally with all of our life. Because if it's just something that we could do, then we don't really have to trust him like we should. And so oftentimes when God begins to speak to us and he begins to reveal to us just one step at a time, and even sometimes them steps seems big, but it's like, okay, Lord, if that's what we need to do, I trust you. But it's often bigger than us. And this is what we find here with Joseph. He's a 17-year-old guy. And looking back at the robe that his dad gave him, he was quite close with his dad. He had a relationship with his dad. And this robe had long sleeves, which means that he didn't have to work like the rest of his brothers. And he had these dreams from God. And sometimes you and I dream a lot smaller than what God intended them to be. Listen to this Bible quote. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because when you and I delight in him, he puts them desires within us. And them desires seem massive. They seem really big. But they're the desires from God. Dream big. Let God put his dreams within us. And Joseph had a healthy fear of God. And healthy things grow. Listen to what he said. Remember last week, I might have just shared this with us. He's gone through is what I would call his dilly-dally time. When he got thrown into the pit, etc., etc. He's in Potiphar's house. And he's got a chance now to have his cake and eat it. He's got his chance to have his way with his boss's wife, and nobody will know. And really, he could have said, after all that I've gone through, then I deserve a bit of fun. And this is what Joseph said. How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? God, what a guy. What a man. To be able to do that after all that he's gone through. How we view God determines the way that we live. How we see God determines the way that you and I live. Then we look at verse 4. We'll just put some of these verses up. Verse 4. There's no 4? Sorry about that. Okay, we can just go back. This is what it said. Verse 4. They hated Joseph. Verse 5, they hated him more. Verse 8, they hated him, if it were possible, even more than what they did in verse 4 and 5. Verse 11, it says that they were jealous of Joseph. And Proverbs Solomon says, who can stand before jealousy? Jealousy is an awful thing, because linked with jealousy is bitterness and envy and hatred. And within this family of Joseph, they just didn't recognize the call of God on his life. And if God has got his hand on you and he's speaking to you, sometimes opposition will come from the closest to you. And this for Joseph, his family couldn't see the call of God on his life. And sometimes other people will try and put us off. Some people will try and say that it's not right. I got this from Terry, my father-in-law. He actually came to me 1 year afterwards regarding Bible college. And he came up to me, you know how he is, he got his hands in his pockets, and he said, "Hey," which means hello, really. But he says, "Hey," he says, "I've got something to say to thee." I says, "What?" He says, "I've forgiven you." I says, "For what? What do you mean you've forgiven me?" He says, "I've forgiven you for taking my daughter away from home." I said, "I thought you'd be happy, to be honest, but no." But we had people around us who were trying to put us off, saying, "That's not God's will. That's not right. It just don't make any sense." And often when it don't make any sense and you know that God's spoken to you, it requires faith, and a lot of it goes against logic. Because God can call us to do some incredible things. And here, his family just didn't get it. They put him off. And then there's criticism, then there's jealousy, then there's hatred, then there's envy, then there's murder, etc., etc. They hated him with a passion. Listen to Proverbs 14:30. It says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." Wow, that's really strong. Envy, hatred, everything else. And what's really, really sad is when you look at chapter 37 and verses 24 to 27, their plan was to kill him. In fact, they decided not to kill him and throw him in a pit. They decided to make money on him. They decided to sell him off. But this is really, really sad, because in these verses, verses 24 to 27, here's Joseph. They've thrown him into a pit. He must have been a bit of a mess. And he's crying out and screaming out. And what are they doing? They're sat having a meal. So cold. So evil. So awful. And they're family members. And they're sat just having a bite to eat, listening to the cries and the screams of Joseph. And he's the young one. It's the older ones that look after the young ones in the family. And they really couldn't wait to get rid of him. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Then they took his coat as they sold him off. Joseph's going off to Egypt. They get this fancy coat. They dip it in the blood of an animal. Then they have to go back and face their dad. And they tell dad the biggest porky straight in front of him, all of them. Joseph's been killed by an animal. Can you imagine that? I just want to put us in that picture of what they were like. And you'll find in Genesis 37, there's no mention of God. Not from beginning to end. But he's with Joseph. And you'll find this God was with Joseph in chapter 39. You'll find it two times. It says, "But God were with Joseph," and "God were with Joseph." But in 37, it doesn't say anything about God, but God were there, just like God is with you. Just like God is in our book, a page within our life, within our book of life, God is there. Just because there's no mention of him, just because we don't feel his presence or sense his presence, he's promised never to leave us. And he's there. In everything that you and I go through, he is there right with us. And God saw the favoritism. He saw the rejection. He knew about the dreams and all the evil schemes and the things that you and I go through. Do you know what God is doing? He's doing something. God's doing his stuff. He's always at work. He's always preparing. He's always encouraging. He's always uplifting. And he does that through the body of the church. And then even afterwards, he knows about slavery. He knows about the false accusations from Potiphar's wife. God knows about prison. He also knew that Joseph was going to get forgotten for another 2 years. What was going on there? God is working it all out. I'm going to throw out a question just as we bring things to a close. From the beginning of chapter 37 to the end of chapter 37, is he worse off or better off? Should he be at home with his dad, or should he be right there? Right in the thick of it all, right in the mix of it all, right in the trouble of it all. Where would we put? Because sometimes when you and I are going through the mill, the first thing we want to do is actually get out of it. Is he worse off or is he better off? Well, that kind of depends upon our point of view. It kind of depends on how big our God is. Listen to this quote. It says, God accomplishes his purposes for us even when we have no clue about the big picture and how I fit into it. Here we go. I'm going to start off with the song. And I'd like you to carry on. Because you're really good at this, aren't you? And if you want to get giddy like Jenny, you can do that. I'm sure some of you will do that. Here we go. For I know who holds the future. As I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. For I know who holds the future. He knows what he's doing. Let me, Rick Warren, 2013, worst year of his life. A certain day that he dreaded coming. He'd got a 23-year-old son who had a lot of problems and a lot of issues, and he took his own life. And so Rick Warren spent 4 months away from the pulpit and trying to come to terms with it all. And he really thanked the church for their love and their support, because it was a day that they just didn't know were coming. And it absolutely floored him. And this is what he said. He said, God knows what it's like to lose a son. When you go through difficult times, you automatically start and try and find the answer. But explanations never comfort. You don't need explanations. You just need the presence of God. And that was Job. Job, who we call the man of patience. Job, who had not a clue about what was going off in this heavenly interview. No idea of what he was going through or why. He just had to trust God. 300 questions that he asked God in 40 chapters. And do you know something? God never answered one. Do you know why? God answered Job with his presence. And sometimes that's all you and I need. Because some things can't be explained. But when God comes near and he comes close and he brings peace and he brings assurance, and it's kind of like, I'm here. I'm working. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm allowing. And this is a song that they sung at the funeral. It says, blessed be your name. And I'm sure we all know that. Blessed be your name. And in that song it says, you give and you take away. And then this phrase. This was someone who commented on Rick Warren's response. And he says, only a man with a big God can talk like that. And what we go through, sometimes God is just helping us build a bigger picture of who he is. And a small size or a medium sized God would never see Joseph through. But he grew in that relationship with God. And so Joseph proves, no matter what kind of background that we come from, a troubled family, all the difficulties, is that it just goes way beyond our thinking. That God's in charge. And he's developing us just like he developed Joseph. To have a big God who can see us through everything. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful that you, the God of creation, is our God. You, the God who has come to live within us, who has brought peace and forgiveness and new life through the power of his cross and through the beauty of his resurrection, that you live within us. And we're thankful, Lord, that you know what you're doing. Even when we've made mistakes, even when we've gone off and we've done our own thing, you are so powerful to turn all that around and make it work for us, for our good and for your glory. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you that we're able to look at this life of Joseph and see your hand at work in someone like that. Because, Lord, you've got a purpose for each and every one of us. You've gifted each and every one of us a part of your body, you being the head. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you mean to us, Lord. Help us to grow in our relationship to you, thanking you again that you, the God of heaven, you love us. You've lavished your love upon us. And we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.